It's May 2nd, 2019, and this is our second call in the Letting Go series. We'll begin, as always, in Shavasana. So find a comfortable place to lie down. If you're driving, please pull over. And whenever you can, find that place to lie down where there's spaciousness. So nothing touching you other than those props that you're using. Clear out a quiet space as well. So if you can be away from any distractions so that you have the opportunity to go inward. Lie on your back, make sure you've got some head support as needed so that the chin is lower than the forehead. That lets the mind become quiet. Bend the knees, take the flesh of the buttocks toward the heels and make space for that low back area. Then extend one leg out and then the other. Allow all of the toes to drop to the floor. Baby toes first, the rest of the toes follow. Let the legs relax. Bend the elbows and point the fingertips to the sky for a moment. Dig the elbows into the floor to lift and open the heart center. Have you felt your heart open yet today? Feel it physically here in the body as you open the heart. Again, dig the elbows into the floor. Open the heart. Shoulders are back and down. Shoulder blades move into the back. And then release the arms. The arms are straight in a low V, palms up position beside the body. Softly close the eyes. And just let go. Let the whole body release to the earth. Whatever you've been carrying up until this moment of your day or of thoughts or of anything else, just know it's not important right now. Let it go. Let each thought go as it arises through lack of attention to it, because your focus is trained very specifically on the breath. We use the breath as a tool to allow ourselves to come to presence, to allow the mind to become quiet. The breath is always with us. The breath is always now. So it allows us to come to this place here and now. Feel the breath. Scan the body for any tension. And where you find tension, breathe into that spot and let it go. What's your breath like today? What's it like right now? Observe. Let the face be soft, eyes soft, cheeks soft, jaw relaxed, forehead smooth, tongue resting, relaxed all the way to its root in the throat, relaxed tongue. Feel the quietness of this moment. Feel the perfection of this moment. In this moment, all is well. Watch the breath. Let each breath take you deeper and deeper into stillness, and beyond stillness, silence. Knowing that soon you'll be coming out of Shavasana. It begins just with the thought that soon you'll move. Separating out thought and action or reaction. Just a thought, soon you'll move. Allow the breath to deepen. Place the hands on the torso. Feel the breath. Slowly, slowly bend the knees. Roll to the right side and support your head. Softly open your eyes. And keeping the eyes facing the floor, slowly press yourself up to sitting. Raise the eyes up to level. And slowly, slowly come to our virtual circle, turning on your video whenever possible. And coming to share one or two things about what you loved here. Always training our practiced attention on those things that we love, those things that we gained, those things that were beautiful here and always. It's a practice and it's earned. It doesn't happen automatically. It happens because we practice it. So, returning to our virtual circle. Thank you, Erin, you're first. Thank you, Grace. And let's hear from one or two of you. What did you love this time? Were you present? Was it different? Were you needing it to be different? Were you only looking for difference and striving for that difference? A whole host of things that we learn as we practice this. Did you notice? What did you notice that was beautiful for you? Who'd like to begin? Letting go happens at every moment. It happens in teaching as well. Letting go of the need for anybody to say anything at any particular moment. The university, I'd stand there for a long time if I needed to. And sometimes everybody was talking at once. Sometimes there was silence. Yeah, can you be okay with the ebb and flow of things? That's what this letting go, whole thing is about. A big piece of it. So, what'd you love here?
I had... I loved your question. Have you felt your heart open up yet today?
Thank you for hearing it.
Have my heart open up yet today?
I don't always mention everything that's going on. Just about every time, I'll have you dig your elbows in and open the heart center, but are you aware at that moment of the opening of the heart? Thank you for noticing, Judy. And are you aware of whether it's happened yet today? I need to ask myself these questions too. I'm busy with all kinds of things. a lot of preparing for this class this morning and yoga practice this morning, but have I been aware? Where's my heart been? And I've actually been doing some physical heart openers this morning, but was I aware of my heart opening? I was lying on blocks. Was I noticing? I was lying with a chair right behind my shoulder blades and, opening the heart center. I was lying over, I did at least 3 back bends this morning. Did I notice? I was lying over my heart opener. Somebody saw that. It's at the Yoga for Entrepreneurs workshop in January. I showed you my back bender that I use. And, have I even been aware? Thank you for noticing the words and noticing it. Really important. We do it all the time, but I don't always mark it. Yeah. What else would you love? Can't create a business if we don't open our hearts. I don't know how to do it. That's the whole next series. And this series lays the groundwork for it. What else? Sergio, is that you raising your hand? I'm going to take it as you raising your hand. Maybe you were just waving. But you're here. It's the middle of the night for you. So I'm going to call on you.
Oh, yeah. It's a bit after 1 in the morning. I can't afford to let myself go, because if I let myself go, I'll fall asleep and I won't wake up again.
Mm-hmm. So letting go is not simply the same as falling asleep or being inattentive or there were some great questions about that last time about letting go. Was it Marla asking about this? Letting go and giving up. Is letting go the same as giving up? It's actually the opposite of, when we understand the word surrender, the way my teacher Shirley French uses it, it's the opposite of giving up, but it's not about striving either. So how can I understand that word letting go in a different way than, in the Western world, we're used to that letting go, meaning like couch potato, eating bonbons, giving up, not that kind of letting go at all. So thanks for that. I love that comment, Sergio. Let's hear one more. I think there's one more out there. Yeah, Sherry.
You were talking about notice where in your body there's tension and breathe into it. And it was, I am so tense in a couple of places, and I didn't notice until it was pointed out. And then it was how perfect this is called letting go. And notice and let go was really what I got in touch with this morning.
Yeah, perfect. Perfect. To be noticing those pieces of letting go this morning in our Shavasana, and without the noticing, how are we going to do it? And I'm glad you mentioned the piece about tension. When I arrived, I've been preparing so much for you this morning around this class. I've been teaching this stuff and learning this stuff for years and years and years. And yet there's so much that I wanted to express. And as I was looking at, I have a binders of notes that I refer to from teaching for so many years, and layers of years of teaching. And I often look through, previous teachings of it, and like, no, that's not resonating with me. That version isn't resonating. No. And if it's not awake and alive in me right now, how is it possibly going to be transmitted? And so I'm referring to things, and I'm thinking about things, and jotting down notes, and typing up notes. And I arrived in this class with the actual, it was a kind of tension of that, because I so want to convey the material from today. I know it's changed my life. And I took a deeper dive with this material this week. It was so profoundly experiential that I needed to find new words to express it. And so so I arrived with tension, and this practice of Shavasana, I'm not doing it with you. I'm speaking it to you. But the words themselves, I feel that release in my body myself. It's happening to me as I'm teaching it to you. And so the practice of Shavasana, just the words themselves, allowing us to let go at a cellular level, and we if we don't make space for other people to let go. If they don't let go of some preconceived notions about what's possible for them, they don't let go of ideas of the way that it's supposed to work because they've been doing it that way in your field, right, for a long time, but it's not working for them. If they don't let go, that we don't have a build, we don't have a business. We can't serve people because they need to let go. Our people need to let go of a whole bunch of prior ways of doing things or they can't learn. So we need others to be able to let go. If we don't learn ourselves, then how are we going to be able to do that? And if we don't let go in our bodies, if I can't let go in my body, how am I going to allow the space for another to let go? So crucial teachings in and crucial entry I wrote into another aspect of why we do Shavasana. Thank you. I love it. Beautiful. All right. Let me see. Just a reminder, no class next week, I believe. I don't even have the dates in front of me, but you guys all should know. No class next week, right? It's a little strange because I was going to be going away and I'm not, but I didn't reinstate a class because there's a certain number of classes spaced out at a certain number of times for a reason too. And sometimes we have a whole bunch of classes. We're doing some work intensely. Sometimes there's a space where if you've missed a class, you can catch up. You can use that time. Always book it out. The times that we meet, usually it's going to be 12:30 Mountain Time. This is our last series, as you know, at this old time of 9:15 Mountain Time. And carve out the space for yourself next week, beyond connection calls. Dive into the material. There'll be some home play. Figure out, well, how is it that I want to apply this to my business and my life right here, right now? These are always good ways to use that time. Wins. I would love to hear a couple of wins. What's rolling for you? And if you go, well, there's nothing that's rolling for me, let go of that thought. it's in the way we understand our wins. Marie, thank you.
This past weekend, I went down to Victoria, the nearest city to where I live, and I did a two-hour writing workshop at a bookstore, and there were 21 people that showed up. Biggest number that I've ever worked with, and I had a revised process that worked really well.
Oh my goodness, pause, like slow it down so we can hear each part.
There's all these
biggest number I've ever worked with. You mean like for how many years of your life, Marie? For how many years of your business?
Oh, I've been doing
that. We're like biggest ever.
Yeah. And then
freaking awesome.
Yeah. So, and I revised the process in a way, like I've been wanting to work with bigger groups. So this is my practice time and it worked.
Great. So I took the time. Well, I talk about embodying letting go and actually embracing it. I get the biggest group I've ever had. And so I decided to play it safe because I'm only going, no, I'm going to experiment on this biggest group ever. Notice all the letting go that's happening here. This is fantastic, Marie.
Yeah. And then what I'm probably most happy about is I had everyone sign up on my mailing list.
100% conversion.
Yeah.
100% conversion. Freaking awesome, Marie. Talk about a triple superlative over the top win, and at the heart of it, a letting go, right? And you know, wow, I better contract and make sure I get everything right. I better do it by the book because here's my biggest group. I better not blow it. All of that would have raga, attachment, and devasia, aversion, these things that we're learning about this week and next week. And Marie didn't do any of that. You let yourself play. You let yourself be. You let yourself be present in the moment. I'm sure none of that would have happened. And freaking awesome. I love it. So beautiful. Thank you.
Well, the most fun I had, I mean, I was making up writing prompts on the fly based on what was going on. And I was in the bookstore.
And stop and hear that too. I just want her to pause over each one of these things. Man, I better make sure I get it right. No, I'm paying attention to what's going on and I'm making it up on the fly. And everybody registers, 100% conversion. And that's what you want. You want to start a relationship with them so you can be in touch with them instead of like making one sale at the moment. Be in a relationship with all of them. And over time, what if they could all become higher level clients, right? I mean, fantastic, Marie.
Well, we were in the big bookstore. I thought this whole store is a writing prompt. So I gave them an exercise to write what's in front of them. And I sent them off. Like they could go wander around the bookstore and write what was in front of them. And they loved it. It was so great.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah, so much easier. I mean, and I bet you were really stressed about that at that moment, right? Like, oh no, this might not work. What'll happen if? Where were you, Marie, at that moment? You don't sound like that at all.
No, I wasn't in that energy at all.
Playful, having fun, right? I can hear it in the moment. Yeah, beautiful. Thank you. Love it. I love the, you know, first time ever. We had wins like that last time too. It was like first time in 40 years, first time ever in my business. Fantastic. That is exactly what you want when you're speaking to a group at 100% conversion. Fantastic. Marie, lovely. One more. Let's hear one more win. What's rolling for you? Carly.
Well, something really unexpected happened this week. Somebody nominated me for one of the 100 most influential women in business in Las Vegas.
Oh!
She's featured in My Vegas magazine and on their website and all of the stuff for the November issue.
Oh my freaking God, Carly, fantastic. Oh.
I think out of nowhere. It's really oh. Cool.
And I love those words, out of nowhere, you know, because these things that come to us out of nowhere, they do come from out of nowhere. We learned about that in the opening series. They do come from out of nowhere, and they're also not out of nowhere. They come from all the work. They come from all the play. They come from all of the energetic. They come from everything lining up, but they don't always come in the ways that we expect, and I love that. Out of nowhere, you know, do you notice yourself finding more out of nowhere things in your life than this and other things like that, Carly?
I am.
Yeah, there is no thing like that. That's fantastic. That's, you know.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful. I love it. Thank you. Let's hear one more. These are superlative. And so then maybe we've got some editors going here because these are like over the top kinds of wins. So if there's a person inside you going, well, yeah, but nothing happened to me this week or, you know, this month, or, you know, that'd be a good time to raise your hand. Marla, go.
Mine feels a little bit like that.
But look at your face, though. Do you see it? And now immediately her face might go try to be something, right? You know?
So the, we have a horse in the barn who's been really difficult. And the vet that comes and does their teeth, takes care of their teeth, came on Tuesday. And she said, do I need to call ahead so you can state her before I get there? Because we've always had to do that. And we said, nope, she'll be fine. And she was, and the vet commented on 3 or 4 times, and I handed her lots of cards to give to people when she sees us.
Marla, I love it. So the vet comes in and is like, well, obviously you're going to need to do this. You're going to need to sedate the horse because it's not possible to be able to be with your horse in a way that will allow for peacefulness, allow for, but it happens in your hands, in your beautiful expert hands, Marla. And then I love that you came with the cards. So perfect. By the way,
I thought she'd be impressed.
No kidding. How beautiful is that? Who are you and what have you done with the Marla who is sometimes, you know, I know you have that aspect in you, but I love that she's shining more and more in you. Do y'all know what I'm saying? Here's my card. Does that feel like that's a part of you that is shining maybe a little bit more than you used to?
I think so. Yes.
Oh, I think so. Oh, I think maybe a little more than even a little. Love it. Thank you. These are extraordinary and beautiful, beautiful wins. Thank you. And I encourage you, actually, let's start a thread. We'll start a win thread. I haven't seen one of those in the Facebook forum in a while, just a thread of everybody's, you know? So I've seen lots of wins. So thank you for sharing them. Beautiful. But let's start a win thread just for the fun of it. Who would like to do that? Yeah, Grace, thank you. And you can start with one of your own, whatever it is. And then whoever didn't, because you don't all get a chance to share wins every week. So here, we get to hear a few of them, but you know, let's hear from all of you. So thanks, Grace, for starting that. And Cheryl, don't see her here today yet, but thanks, Cheryl, for starting a thread of post your questions here on Facebook. And I was wondering, oh, wait, did it not, is our new system of posting questions not working, then I saw that it was working. And then I remembered saying, hey, post your questions both in Facebook and over in our Story Freedom Academy. So just a reminder, it's a really good idea to post them in both places. Get some help from the community over on the Facebook page and then post them as well for our call each week. And this week we had just one question posted that I found. Did anybody, it was Donna, did anybody else post a question that I just missed? Anyone? Okay. And I should say too, if you've ever got a burning question, I can't promise that we'll make time, that we'll be able to make time for it if you haven't posted it beforehand, but feel free to just jump in and go like, I really, really, you know, have this burning question. And if I can, we'll make space for it. We only have one question posted. We'll be sure to get there, and it's going to really dovetail with what we're working on today. So thanks for that really great question, Donna. All right. Anything burning to be said without which we can't go forward? All right. Did any of you play with, so last week we were talking about raga, attachment. And do you remember the, oh, that's so funny. Do you remember the story that I read you last week? What was it about? Oh, that's so funny. I thought it would be that would be the piece that's the most memorable and will help you remember. Do you remember the story about Zax? Yeah, Sergio, go. What do you remember?
I watched the video this morning, so I remembered about Zach. That's
great. Yeah, and since it's fresh in your mind, even more than my mind, I taught it, but you know more about it than I do. It's fresh in your mind. What struck you the most about the Zachs? What do you remember, or what stays with you about that? Yeah, go ahead, Sergio. Go ahead.
If you just don't let go of the fixation, like the two Zachs both going there, you just can't get anywhere. We've got to let go of our attachments to doing something one way.
Yeah, stuck there. I still remember, I can hear the record in my mind from when I was little. I used to listen to the record over and over. I'll stand here not budging. I can and I will. If it makes you and me and the whole world stand still. Of course, the world didn't stand still. The world grew. In a couple of years, a new highway came through. Oh my goodness, I could do that by memory from when I was a kid. And they built it right over those two stubborn sacks and left them there standing, unbudged in their tracks. Right? So just won't let go. This is the way it's supposed to be done. And it's one manifestation of attachment in the yoga tradition, raga. And when we look, we can see it in our businesses, we can see it around us, we can see it in our, when we go to the grocery store, we can see it in our minds, we can see it everywhere. And if we can't notice it, we can't do something about it. So we want to be able to notice where those places are that we're holding on and then be able to let go. And in the yoga tradition, it's like, well, don't take our word for us as yogis. The yogis tell us, like, try it out, see what happens. But every time there's attachment, there's suffering. And we had some great examples. I think of Cheryl last week, or Grace's example of, you know, holding on to 2 years of, it's supposed to be this way because that's the way I was trained. Was it like that, right? And then how could I grow my business? Or Cheryl's like, this is the idea of what my business is supposed to be because that's what I've been working towards. So it's got to be that. And there's an aspect of Zachness that becomes, you know, part of us even though we don't recognize it. And it can just stop us in our tracks like the Zachs, right? So one of the things we talked about, so just a reminder of where we were last week, we talked about, you know, what are you tolerating, that exercise that I learned from my teacher, Lisa Sasevich, and what are you willing to let go of? Did anybody actually do that exercise as an exercise? I've done it multiple times, actually writing out, what are the things I'm tolerating in my life? What are the things I'm willing to let go of? So did anybody actually write it out? I wouldn't suggest something that I haven't done myself or that I don't think will make a huge, huge difference for you in your company, in your life. Anybody get a chance to do it? Yeah, Donna. Okay. Yeah. Anyone think about doing it? Thank you, Marla. I love it. Anyone planning to do it this week? What are you tolerating? It's a really a thing. Thank you. Yeah. So, and Donna, so you did a little bit of it. Let's go with you. So what, tell us where you got to. And also letting go happens moment by moment. It's like, oh man, if there's any piece of you, I should have done my homework. I didn't do it right. Oh, I forgot that piece. Oh, I wasn't paying attention there. Right. Let it go. It doesn't matter. It's okay.
I've been motivated to start journaling and it's something I've never done before. And sitting still long enough to meditate, sitting still long enough to journal, is a challenge for me. So I'm up at 5:30 in the morning when it's nice and quiet wishing I had sunshine already. And I find it's easy to get distracted, to just sit and not do anything or think anything. So it's, I don't know if that's a form of meditation I'm getting better at. There's no ability for me to do that during the course of a day. It's not something I gift myself with. So work in progress. I at least acknowledge this now.
Gifting myself with some time to sit, time to meditate, time to, in its beginning stages, and, you know, we're all beginners in that. Think of that. There's a book, Zen Mind, Beginner Mind, right? It's like, you know, so beginning to sit and beginning to journal and taking the time when it's quiet, when there won't be distractions. What a beautiful practice to begin to even see what's going on in the mind, because we can't let it go if we don't even know what's happening. And it happens moment by moment by moment. And that's how things happen on stage. That's how things happen when we're talking to a prospect or to a client or a team member or prospective joint venture partner. So well done. Beautiful, beautiful. I'll count that as a win as well in our list of wins. Thank you. All right. I want to ask you, because I want to see where these teachings are landing in you. And sometimes we come in the back door, and so I don't always say, here's the three lessons we're going to learn this week, you know, because then we get our school hat on, and they don't go in the body, they go in the mind, and we've already heard it, we could Google that, and so what. But I want to hear from you, what do you think is the connection between abundance and letting go? These two, the last series that we did, it was a while back now, but it was the abundance series, it's followed by the letting go series. What do you think the connection is? Do you remember I read you about some vegetables, or maybe think about it differently? Marie, go ahead. And I saw Grace too, so we'll hear from both of you.
Well, I talked last week about having my abundance journal where I'm acknowledging what's coming in, specifically with financial stuff, but also other, what I call the good things. But this week I shifted to acknowledging what's going out. And having a sense of gratitude and appreciation and actually joy about what's going out, like what I'm spending my money on, I had a massage, it was a great massage, I spent this much money, yay. Like, and it feels different than how I've done this before. So the letting go for me is about letting money flow out with ease and gratitude, the way I am receiving money coming in with ease and gratitude. So that feels to me like something about letting go.
Oh, huge, huge, in connection with abundance and letting go, and in connection with something very tangible in our business, money. If the company isn't making any money, we don't have a business, we have a hobby. So it's central to our businesses, obviously, right? And what is it to relate to money without raga, without attachment, without that hanging on? Well, I only need this little bit, so I better hang on. Oh, can I bless it as it goes out? Can I find the gratitude? Beautiful, Marie. As I'm paying that bill, this was that massage. Wow, I remember enjoying it. It was beautiful. What a beautiful abundance practice in letting go. So they are distinctly connected. How can we be abundant? How can we feel any kind of abundance, financial or otherwise? And sometimes we start by practicing with the money part, and that's the hardest part. We can practice abundance in other areas, and it kind of leaks over into the money world, right? But how can I feel abundant? Some of you know that the thrift shop song, you know, got $20 in my pocket and I'm rich, right? I've got everything. That has both abundance and letting go in it. And if I don't have that, it means I'm hanging on to the money, which means that probably prospects coming to you are going to be doing the same thing, by the way. Well, yeah, I would work with you, but, you know, tomorrow, because this money I have to hang on to right now. So this is crucial for our businesses to function. Can I bless all that that's gone, that as it goes? Letting go, abundance. Beautiful, Marie. Thank you. Let's hear one more. Abundance and letting go. How are they connected? Oh, Brooke Grace, you're next.
I don't know. After Marie said hers, I'm going, okay, she said it all.
Yeah, and so then letting go of that thought. Oh no, it's already covered. And this can, that thought can stop creativity too. I remember, and you weren't stuck by that, but in case anybody's stuck on this, right? I was going to write a paper on a book called Sarah, Meatless Days by Sarah Suleri. It's in a post-colonial class in graduate school. And then a friend of mine wrote the paper, and she was working with the same supervisor. I'm like, I guess I can't write that paper because she already wrote it. And he just laughed at me. So he's like, I think there's plenty of room for more ideas. So thank you for letting me. And I didn't see any editor in that, but I just wanted to pause there for a moment and underline it because we have that all the time. People have already taken that. They've already done that in my area. There's already somebody big who's doing it. There's already, it's a form of either attachment or either raga or devesha, which we'll learn about today, right? Or some form of ego. It's going to be one of the kleshas in there causing suffering. So a whole bunch of new ideas, so much more is possible. And sometimes the best thing is just on the end of what we think is already done. We learned that in Mexico. So Grace.
You know, for me, it's a continuation of letting go of these, you know, the 2 years of the external bombardment. Mm-hmm. And letting go of that and letting go of the huge monetary investments that were made. And just saying, there's knowledge I've gained from that and I'll carry it forward. But for right now, I have to look inward, and I don't have to, I choose to, I want to look inward and just be at peace at I'm enjoying the writing. I'm actually having fun with the writing. Mm-hmm. And just write. So part of the letting go, when we let go, abundance comes because we're opening ourselves for something else. Mm.
It's all right.
Yes. I love it.
Henry, it's all right.
Hang on. Marla, getting a bit of background noise, so I'm just going to mute your line. So letting go of external bombardment, letting go of the monetary investment. Wow. It's like having clothes in your closet that you've spent a lot of money on. And so they're just the woman who, goodness, she didn't buy anything on me right now, but yeah, she bought a bunch of my clothes, Liana. And when it's in our closet, it's taking up valuable real estate. She says, but you know, we can't let go of that piece of clothing because I spent all that money on it. So it's got to stay there doing nothing but taking up space. Or thought forms. It's like all that I invested, I better make something out of it. Such a great example, Grace. And if I don't do that, then my mind just gets clogged up with junk. And how can I let creativity flow? How can I let anything new flow? And so the connection again between letting go and abundance. Thank you for that. Got to let go of that stuff for the new to flow in. And how many of you by the way now have watched Bohemian Rhapsody? Because I'm just like enthralled by that show. I've always loved Queen, and now I love them even more. And I had a deep, so I want to tell you a story about that connected with Grace's monetary investment piece in just a moment. But I told you that I was so deeply into these teachings this week. I had to deeply let go. I let go of everything else. I was like crazy sick this week. I'm just actually awake and alive for the first time, I think, this morning. I started getting sick when I last saw you, and I canceled a speaking engagement. I have never done that before. I was supposed to be somewhere. My fever was rising. So I think I'm like, thank you, universe. Okay, I really didn't need this, though. Definitely had some devasia pushing away about that. Because as my fever was rising, I was starting to imagine that I was going to go off the road because I had to drive an hour's drive north on the highway in heavy traffic to get there. And I'm starting to envision these collisions. And then what's my daughter going to do? I'm like, what am I doing? And I had just taught letting go that morning. And it was a small speaking engagement. They're supposed to, only five people, I think, had signed up. Their committee had been contracting. So it wasn't a small group when I met them, but really liked them, wanted to go speak there. And so needed to let go. I'm like, I'm sorry, I can't be there. I don't want to pile up on the side of the road. I want to do that to my daughter. Like, I had to let go. And so I have been crazy sick all week. I let go of all my appointments. And was, when I say I've been learning this material deeply this year, it's one of the reasons it took me so long to construct this call. Because I'm like, how do I even start to convey the deeper level of what I understand after this week about this. And one of the things I've been doing is just, I've been devouring Queen concerts. That's all I could do, watching Queen documentaries and videos. And so now if you have a question about Queen, I could probably answer it. And Bohemian Rhapsody, I've watched so many times, I can't even count. And I would try resting, I couldn't sleep. And I couldn't, you know, so I really had to let go of everything, right? I couldn't go for a massage, I was too sick. I couldn't, you know, I couldn't even really do a lot of yoga. I could do some breath work, but you know, that's about it. So I've been watching Queen, and Grace talking about, you know, even letting go of the monetary investments. So if you've watched that film now, even if you haven't, you'll hear the story, but there's a moment where the band is standing on the side of the road and they got a flat tire, and Deaky's changing the tire, and you know, the drummer is sitting there. He's like, why am I standing here in the middle of nowhere? We were doing just fine. You know, we're playing these college gigs and standing on the side of the road in the middle of nowhere eating a ham sandwich. And Freddie Mercury says, we're just not thinking big enough. We're just not thinking big enough. You got to make a record. And they're a student band. They're totally broke. It's okay. By the way, anybody upset if I do some spoilers? You'll get to it. You'll still enjoy it. I enjoyed it like the seventh time or whatever, Mae Jensen. Anybody mind if I do spoilers about this movie? I gave you a couple weeks warning. Okay. It's not a big spoiler. Anyway, he says, we're just not thinking big enough. How much money do you think we can get for this van? We need to make a record. You know, we need to make an album. And they're all going, are you kidding? Because there's no sense of that kind of abundance, no sense of that mindset among them in the movie version anyway, right? Are you kidding? We don't have that kind of money. And they plunk down, you know, 3 months' wages and the price of the van, and they throw everything they've got into making a record. And so letting go of, with Marie and Grace, letting go of the monetary investment, right? What can I not have such a tight hold on money that either I hang on to old ideas from 2 years of training, like Grace said, you know, can I let go of that? Or that I think I have to hang on to the... Or can I let go of the money like Marie talked about, right? Like just letting it go, letting it flow. And out of that can come a crazy, wonderful ideas. There's a whole lot going on in the chat. I have to click on there. So spoiler alert, oh, Queen became a big band. Yeah. Thanks, Aaron. Yeah. Spoiler alert. Yeah. Letting go of the external bombardment, Grace says, letting go of the monetary investment, letting go of... so many different levels so that we can actually allow ourselves to be creative, to serve the people we're meant to serve, to take it to the next level. Right. So let it go series. All right. I want to teach another piece of this today. So last week we were talking about, actually before I do that, anything burning to be said without which we can't go forward. Yeah, Donna. I just feel the energy out there. And then there's minds pulling over that way. And then there's no, if we have to be able to let go of that last thought in order to hear the next one. It's pedagogical as well, right? It's right in the teaching. Yeah, Donna, go ahead.
Letting go, envisioning out what you want to craft, but letting go of the expectation.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
I trip over that all the time.
Yeah, yeah. And it's right in the Bhagavad Gita, which is one of the, you know, inspirational texts behind the yoga tradition. You don't have to be Hindu or, you know, one of my most profound yoga teachers is a profoundly Catholic and Iyengar yoga teacher. And, you know, so whatever your spiritual tradition, I'm trying to say, in the Bhagavad Gita, it says, you know, do your duty and be unattached to the outcome. Do that thing that you need to do and then be unattached to the outcome. And easy, like how do we actually do that then? How do we do that, right? But sometimes we don't even know that we want to do that. Well, one of the ways we do that is when we find out that if we don't do that, we suffer, right? So, and we can bump into it in these little tiny ways. Yeah, I was attached to this one again. I got to get this across to you guys. I really want you to understand. As long as I'm attached to the you understanding, I'm going to suffer. I have to not, this is going to sound strange, but I have to not care about whether you guys get it or not, whatever I think you should get. Mm-hmm. I can end up sounding really callous. It's not. is to get the deepest form of caring and love. Because as long as I'm attached to you getting it, it's about me. It's not about you, right? So can I start to, that's why that, what am I toll rating exercise is so important. Because that's like, and I've got another exercise for you this week too that I'm going to encourage you to do. Actually, maybe I'll turn to that right next. Because when we don't see those micro movements of our minds, when we can't see all the little ways that we're attached all the way along and it's causing us suffering, then why would we let go of the big things? But when we can see in this micro way that it's causing suffering all the way along in these little micro ways through our day, well, and we're much more inclined to let go. And also, Shavasana itself and meditation are designed to let go. We can't just intellectually let go. No matter how much I taught at the university and all that head stuff, it doesn't come from there. It's got to be let go of in the body. And thus, you know, beginning our day with Shavasana, it's an embodied cellular letting go, and it's a practice and it builds over time. So I encourage you to do it every single day. I've started every day since summer of 2006 with Shavasana and breathwork, and I've missed a handful of days in now almost 13 years and practiced sporadically for many, many years before that. And so my sporadic was not that sporadic. I just wasn't doing it every day. So many, many years. All right. So thank you, Donna. Anything else bursting to be said? Okay, so let me share with you. It wasn't the order I was going to, letting go of the order I was going to present this in. In order for you to understand this piece, it's I need to teach you a little bit about raga and devesha. You've heard these words if you're in Mexico. I lace them throughout the year for sure, but in the beginning of the Letting Go series, this is where we do the deep dive into it. Raga, devesha. Raga, attachment. Hanging on to stuff. It's like what do they have? There's that story of the monkey putting their hand in the jar and then hanging on to the banana, but then they can't get their hand out and they'll just be caught because they won't let go, right? That's raga, attachment. And devesha is the opposite. It's aversion. It's pushing away. But they're like flip sides of the same coin. And today is about devesha, pushing away, but really just flip sides of the same coin. And can you give me an example of why raga and devesha, whether I'm pulling something toward me or pushing something away from me, because they'll sound very opposite. Why would they actually be like versions of the same thing? Can you wrap your mind around that or give me an example so I know that you're understanding? Yeah, Marla.
They're both being sort of set on it being a certain way.
Yes, yes, yeah. It's pushing against what is.
Right.
I need this to be like this, so I have to pull this toward me. My car, my house, my idea of who I am, my image of myself as a great business person, my a great speaker, whatever it is, right? Even with the wins, if Marie all of a sudden got attached to that image of herself as, well, I'm the person who teaches this many people, you know, I didn't see that happening in Marie, but if she did, you know, the next time she walks in, I'm like, probably going to cause suffering. No, the next time is the next time, and letting that piece go as well, right? So, and then devesha, pushing away, both pushing against what is, and a tightness in them, right? So I need my car, and I need you to not be around me, because then I'll look bad. Well, those are like more overt. We might think, well, we're all beyond that. But that thought, well, I'm beyond that, itself is pushing away that person and is filled with devesha. Is the moment we have that thought, we're already stuck in devesha, but it's like a sneakier level. Right? So devesha, pushing away the idea of my own failure. I was just, one of the things I did watch an hour of Brené Brown on Netflix. It's great. I've never watched so many things in my life as this week. And she said, you know, when we build, when we are, have the courage to be vulnerable and the courage to build things, when we're actually the courage to be in the arena, it's not that we risk failure. From her 25 years of study in the field or whatever, and her work in graduate school and all the research and so on, it's like, you will fail. You just will fail. We will fail. It's not that we risk failure. We will. And so having the courage to neither, you know, cling to these things that we think are ourselves or push away these things, like pushing away failure, pushing away how long it might take, or pushing ideas away, pushing away we end up pushing away ideal clients sometimes, right? Because we don't like some aspect of what they're doing or how they're being, or we don't like how the conversation is gone. We push away at micro and macro levels all the time, right? So, raga, pulling toward, divesha, pushing away. And before I give you more theoretical framework from the Yoga Sutras, and it's built right into our stories. I'm going to take it over to Bohemian Rhapsody too, because if we want to create an empowering story, we got to know this stuff. It's named differently in the yoga tradition than in story, but it's same stuff. Empowering stories always are aware of this dynamic. So this is from a book called Living Your Yoga, Finding the Spiritual in Everyday Life by Judith Lassiter. And she has an attachment and aversion practice. So she's talking about raga and divesha in her chapter on attachment and aversion, page 98 in my version of the book. She says, one day I decided to count the number of times that I became irritated or frustrated throughout the day. I do not mean angry, but just irritated at the way things were going. Think about irritation at the way things are going. What is that, raga or divesha? Raga pulling toward, divesha pushing away. Grace, go ahead.
Divesha, it's pushing away. I don't want to deal with this. I don't want to be part of this.
Right. So even frustration, irritation, is divesha, causes suffering every time, according to the yogis, right? So it's a form of divesha. One day I decided to count the number of times I became irritated or frustrated through the day. I don't mean angry, but just irritated at the way things were going. I kept track on a handheld counter. I was shocked at the total. Take a guess. She's a yogi, you know, and who's been teaching this stuff. You know, she teaches Relax and Renew. She's the best restorative yoga teacher on the planet, probably, or most well-known. Does amazing work about letting go and release. How many times during the day? 67. I didn't let you guess. 67. I was shocked 67 times that day. I sent my nervous system into action over things of small consequence. How should it be? A mantra for daily living is a powerful practice. I suggest that you say it for the next several days or longer when you feel yourself caught in either attachment or aversion. It can remind you that things are as they are and that you have the freedom to react or not. I've gradually learned to value that awareness that it brings me. How should it be? I've not done that practice of hers, but I've certainly kept track of the number of things that have irritated me through a day before. And it was, I didn't end up counting the whole day because it was a little too discouraging. And I teach this stuff too. It's humbling. It's humbling, but an extraordinary practice. So anyone want to take that on the sometime this week? You could maybe do it for an hour. She did it for a day. Want to try it for, who wants to try it for an hour? Anyone willing? Okay. Who wants to start? Let's have some solidarity about this, because this is you know, some challenging inner work, right? But you got to have a sense of humor about it. So and let's have a sense of collectivity around it. So who will start a thread in the Facebook forum? It's like I'm doing. We call it the I'm doing the. Judith Lassiter's attachment and aversion practice. Anyone join me? So who wants to start that thread? And we can, yeah, who's going to start the thread on the Facebook forum so that you won't have to feel alone in doing it? Who will start that for me? Who's going to start the thread? A number of you had your hand up. You're going to do it. So one of you, Marla, thank you. And Grace, will you be the first to post when Marla in that thread? And try it for an hour, try it for a day, and just notice, because it's what we're doing when we're paying attention to in Shavasana. We notice the things that come up and we let them go. Notice things come up, let them go. Most of them, it's just junk. It's just stuff that's coming up. It's getting in our way. We can't think clearly and we can't focus, right? So go ahead and play with that attachment and aversion practice. And let me see. How are you feeling about doing that? Why would you bother doing this? Michelle, we're trying to grow our businesses. Why am I doing this? Will somebody answer this question for me? Yeah, Sherry. And then Marie.
I have noticed this whole week has been very difficult. And it's been one of those of, you know, pushing, and then having to notice to push at, that I'm pushing, and what is that, and then having to take a step back and release it. And sometimes I've been successful in releasing all of it, and other times I just, you know, push more on top of what didn't get let go. So, and as a result, I've gotten frustrated and been making suboptimal decisions. And I can see how that stands in my way of moving things forward.
This is exactly why we're doing this. You got that, right? Beautiful. And just before you go, Marie, you go first and then I'll go. You go, Marie.
Well, I mean, I think Sherry describes the process beautifully. To me, it's a lot about finding out where I'm leaking energy. So my irritation and frustration takes energy. And when I'm not holding on or pushing away, I have more available for the things that really matter.
Yeah. Yeah. Really good. And, you know, I had so little energy this week. I haven't been, the flu muscle pains, it was my first embodied reminder in 20 years of back labor. It was craziness. And I got to tell you, I didn't do it very well this week. I've been immersed in the teachings of Raga and Dvesha all week. And I can't do anything. I'm canceling every appointment. I can't even rest properly. And then I'm laughing at myself because I gotta go in and teach Dvesha on Thursday. I'm like, how am I going to teach this? I'm so immersed in it. Right now, I hate everything. That's how I was feeling. Grace.
The universe was simply saying, let me give you enough material to be able
yes,
to.
Yes, yeah, exactly. So there was a part of me just immersed in hating everything, really, truly. And hatred is a form of Dvesha, right? And then another part of me that was just watching detached, just amused by it all. That's it. The yogis call that the witness consciousness. So that I wasn't just completely lost in that, even though I was like pretty deep, right? Yeah, the universe hands us like higher and higher levels of what it is that we teach, I think, so that we, you know, we're ready to at a higher level. That was certainly happening to me this week. So, and this is the perfect place to share this piece. So, yes, I love this, the phrase Marie used, leaking energy. Leaking energy. That's what Raga and Dvesha do. We have no energy left for it. And this push and pull is exhausting. And how are we going to watch the subtle shifting of another's mind in a strategy session, for instance, because that's what's happening to them. It means we're human when we're caught in this play. How are we going to watch that when our mind is like this and we can't notice it, right? So being aware of it, mine was like this week, right? That I had to let go of, that I'm an expert about Raga and Dvesha to learn all over again, right? It's like I'm learning this stuff right with you. So I want to share with you, there's in the Yoga Sutras, did I bring a copy here? Yeah. This is Iyengar's version of the Yoga Sutras. It's a bunch of short little sayings about what yoga's about. And there are only, of these short little sayings, there's 197, depending on how you count them. And of these, only three of them are about yoga postures. It's not what yoga is really about, right? And these are the sayings that Patanjali wrote down for us like some 2,000 years ago about what yoga is about. And one of them, the second pada or chapter, Sutra 8, so Sutra 2:8, is the one about Dvesha. And Iyengar translates this simply, unhappiness leads to hatred. And the word is Dvesha, but he translates it as hatred, usually translated as aversion, right? Unhappiness, dukkha, suffering, leads to hatred. And this is his description. Pain, sorrow, and misery trigger a chain of hate or aversion. And I'm like, boy, am I feeling that this week. I don't want to be sick. I just don't. And then I hated everything. It wasn't just the illness. I just hated everything. Pain, sorrow, and misery trigger a chain of hate or aversion. Recollecting lost pleasures, tormented by desires unfulfilled, man is led to sorrow. Woman too, I would add. Women, transgender people. So man is led to sorrow. All genders, man is led to sorrow. In extreme distress, he comes to hate himself, his family, neighbors, and surroundings, and feels a sense of worthlessness. This is the triggering effect of devasia. Unhappiness leading to hatred, leading to, you know, hating all those things, leading to a sense of worthlessness. You might go, well, but I'm not caught in that, but moments, are you? That when Judith Lasseter was counting out those moments of irritation, it's the same trigger, just maybe a less noticed version of it. He says, a discriminating person strives to acquire knowledge so that he may strike a balance between sukha and dukkha, kind of sweetness and pain, and live at the mercy of neither pleasure nor pain. So we have pleasurable experiences, like, and Maria, are you okay if I use your, you know, amazing pinnacle of teaching the biggest group? Can I use that for an example? Thank you. So if Marie, even when we do amazing and have all these wins, right? If Marie gets attached to that, now I got to do it next time. It's got to be even bigger. It's got to be even better. Now all of a sudden she's attached, leads to sorrow, right? So even pleasurable things can lead to sorrow if we don't understand how raga and devasia play, right? If I'm miserable, I push it away, and it's the pushing away that's causing the suffering. And at the root of it, unhappiness, according to Iyengar, unhappiness leads to hatred. So, and it's something that is in different spiritual traditions. I've never taught this in this series in this way before, but I was thinking about it just this morning. I was a very unusual 20-year-old. So was my daughter. She's very unusual. And one of the things I was doing, I was in university, and I was I took one or two religious studies courses, and one of them was in the Old Testament. And we had to write a term paper. I wrote on the Book of Job at the age of 20, because I wanted to understand human suffering. Right? At the age of 20, well, other people were like, I don't know what other people were doing, but I was trying to understand human suffering. And in the Book of Job in the Old Testament, he's like, Job has everything, and so he, you know. He praises the Lord, and everybody says, well, you know, well, if that gets taken away from you, that you wouldn't praise the Lord anymore. And then he says, so then everything gets taken away from him. And, you know, he has blights on his body, and his family gets taken away, and everything, his crops, and everything's destroyed. And again, it's in this and other spiritual traditions, whatever your personal beliefs are, it doesn't require any particular personal beliefs to hear this story. So, and people were saying, now you should, you know, curse God and die. And Job just won't. He's just like, no, he just keeps praising. He just keeps praising. And in the end, everything comes back to him. He gets all these material goods in the end. And some people say that was a later addition. The earlier version of the story didn't have that. And then it was centuries later that got added on. And anyway, so at 20 years old, I'm thinking about, well, do you get everything or not? And what happens when you suffer? And why do some people get all things taken away from them? I had no access to yoga yet in my life, not consistent access. Nobody around me was doing it, but I wanted to understand. And so unhappiness leads to hatred. Everyone around him saying, curse God and die, whatever that is for you, curse the universe, curse, you know, people around me, curse, because there's unhappiness and therefore I'm going to push everything away. And a lot of business owners actually get caught in this in big ways and small. This launch didn't work out. Now I'm going to be afraid to do another launch because it might happen again. So I've got to word against it and make sure I've structured everything and fortified myself so this time it'll work. All this to play of raga and devasia. And, you know, I would listen as a student in a number of masterminds. A person would ask a question. And the way they were asking it, I could feel that pull of raga, devasia. Some of a lot of other things going on, and they'd be given some advice, and I knew that they were going to come back the next week or the next month, and it was going to fail, because you could hear what was going on in their minds, and then they'd come back. It's like, I don't know, I did everything right, but it was inevitable. You could hear the signs of it early on. So, paying attention to this, the push and pull, and it starts with just a little clicker through the day. Oh, look, I'm irritated here. Look, I'm irritated there, and then not being and being gentle with yourself. Because then it's easier. Wow, you know, I'm a really bad person. I should be better than this. I'm still just clinging to the thought of myself as this kind of person. All right. So, I'm trying to decide because there's so many pieces that I want to give you, and I want to make this really real, and I want to make this really enactable. I know you see this and hear this now. I have 10,000 examples on my page here. I want to give you one more example. I want to give you one more example from Bohemian Rhapsody, because it's been on my mind, and I told you I'd be referring to it. And there's such a beautiful example. This is this play of attachment and aversion, raga dveja. It's in our spiritual traditions. It's in our stories as well. It's in our companies. It's in our heads. It's in our lives. In Bohemian Rhapsody, there's a moment where it looks like, and I'm going to try and do it without a spoiler here if you want to go watch the show version, right? But for those who've seen it, there's a moment where it looks like the band is not going to play a really important gig. It's a really important turning point in the movie. And they're so upset with each other, they can't even sit in the same room. And there's a line, their manager brings them together and says, anybody coffee, tea, bladed weapons? Just have a seat, everything will be provided here. And for those who've seen the film, you can recall that moment. And if you can't, man, it's just such a great film about creativity, about what you can achieve beyond what others imagine. It's an amazing film about reconciliation. It's an amazing film about so many things, profound creativity. In that moment, there is deep avidya within the band. There's such hatred and anger toward each other. And they can't go on to do what they do without breaking those down. And it's in the movie version, Freddie Mercury steps up at that, you know, the lead singer, and in a moment of complete letting go, basically takes responsibility for it all. So, I've been an asshole, basically. This is profound. Excuse my language. That's what he says, right? And without that, they can't create their song. If they don't recognize that avidya, that aversion, and do something with it, they cannot create their song. Avidya, I've been saying avidya, dveja. Dveja, pushing away. One of the executives at EMI pushes away their Bohemian Rhapsody because it's like, it's too long. That doesn't fit. We can't have that. Pushes it away. Doesn't fit the mold. It's not the right formula. It's not good. So people around us will push ideas away, and we'll do it ourselves as well because it doesn't fit in the right box. So you got to push it away. It's a moment of avidya, and the band, they rise as a band because they get past that moment of avidya as well. They say, they stand for something that is different. It's outside the box. And they'll go their own way. So watching the play of avidya, I keep saying avidya, I'll tell you why in a minute. Raga and dveja in stories. I've referred to that moment with Luke Skywalker so often in Star Wars. If he doesn't get past his clinging to the farm and pushing away the idea that he could do something about the galaxy, and make a difference, then he can't even take step one. There's another scene in that film where Diki starts playing the song Another One Bites the Dust, that dum 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 dum, right? And they're all at each other's throats. And it's like, if you can just, yes, this will be a hit if you can all just stop that and play the music. Get past this moment of devasia, past this moment of pushing away. Now pushing each other's way, and all is clinging to, it's got to be my song, it's got to be this way, it's got to be, right? So you could see that whole movie as an entire push and pull of raga and devasia, nothing else happening through the whole show. It's one way you could see that whole movie, or any movie, or any story whatsoever. Pushing, pulling, pushing, pulling, pushing, pulling. There's more going on, but one of the ways we could see it. So, so I want to get to Donna's question really quickly, but before we do that, I want to ask you, where does this come up then in our businesses, and why does it matter? I want to hear some concrete examples, so you know that this is not theoretical, that this has to do with every moment of every day of our lives, not to mention our businesses. Can you think of some examples? Think of your day yesterday. Think of what happened to you this morning. Think of the last phone call that you made. It could be anything, and you will find raga and devasia playing there. And if you're not sure, just start to give me an example and we'll find it. Because it means you're human. Yeah, Grace.
I had the day before yesterday, the ministry that I participate in, another member was teaching a class. And I got a phone call early in the morning from someone who wanted to know more about it. And I don't know how he actually got my number, but I was happy to speak with him. And he starts out with this very angry tone saying, well, he said, you know, I'm an atheist and this is with the Catholic Church. And I said, yes. He goes, well, what does it cost? I said, it's free. But he starts with a lot of this and I'm trying to be calm. And he asks about, well, you know, if I want to pay you to just help me find a job. And he gives me this whole history about losing one job after the other. And I'm thinking to myself, have you thought about the common denominator here in all these scenarios? And I gave him my rates, and surprisingly, he said, why so little money? It's as if to say, it must not be very good. So there's a part of me, I just felt myself in this pushing away and pulling in. It's like, I mean, would I even want him as a client? Would he be open to what I have to give? Or the thoughts running through my head, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, you are not my ideal client. I wouldn't want to work with you anyway. I mean, I'd have to charge lots of money. You're right, it's not enough. But I'm telling myself all this, and at the same time, my external presence with him was just very calm and saying, well, I acknowledge you're an atheist. This is free. You're certainly welcome to come. It costs nothing. You'll meet people. You'll gather with people, connect people, and you will... it'll actually be beneficial. And yes, they will open the session with a prayer and you don't need to join in. You can just be silent. And, but it was like this tug pulling kind of thing within me.
Mm, yeah. Beautiful, beautiful example. When that's going on inside me, push, pull, push, pull, push, pull. It's harder to concentrate on what that person is saying. And when that person is really pushing my buttons, right. And it's this example or another example, There's a huge opportunity for learning in and around that mechanism of, you know, means we're human, raga and devasia, pushing and pulling away. And so thank you for that beautiful example. How do I find the clarity so that I can even decide, do I want that person as my client or not? And can I have the presence of mind to say things that will actually land? Can I set aside my own mind enough, or can I be aware of what's going on in my own mind enough in order to speak words that will land? It's about clarity of thought, and it's a beautiful, beautiful example. And so, like I say, I brought so many references today, probably more than ever. And this one, and that certainly happened to me. This happened to remember a story by Deepak Chopra. I saw him on stage one day, and he said he was really annoyed with one of the people in the audience, and they came up and they were loud and they were obnoxious and they were horrible, and he started angrily describing it to his assistant, and she paused, and he's like, oh no, that's me, right? You know, and the thing is, it's not in that one-to-one correspondence. For instance, Grace, you are not an atheist, right? You know, is that right? For example, right? So But sometimes those things, as people are pushing our buttons, we get to see something of ourselves when we're not so busy pushing them away, but just noticing, like Grace was noticing the whole of it as it was going on. And this is from a book called Comfortable with Uncertainty by Pema Chodron, who's, I don't even know how to sort of say her last name, but I've been reading her books for so long. She's an American Buddhist nun and just very, very wise. And she says, in the chapter called Be Grateful to Everyone, chapter 84 in this book, she says, be grateful to everyone is about making peace with aspects of ourselves we have rejected. If we reject an aspect of ourselves, it's like hating a part of ourselves. It's devasia again, right? And again, what was actually going on with Grace in this moment, I don't know, but it gives me the opportunity to share this piece. It's happened so often. Be grateful to everyone is about making peace with the aspects of ourselves that we've rejected. For doing that, we also make peace with the people we dislike. More to the point, being around people we dislike can be a catalyst for making friends with ourselves. And you could hear Grace doing that in her work as she was listening to him and trying to figure it out, and, you know. She says, if we were to make a list of people we don't like, people we find obnoxious, threatening, or worthy of contempt, we would discover much about those aspects of ourselves that we can't face. If we were to come up with one word about each of the troublemakers in our lives, we would find ourselves with a list of descriptions of our own rejected qualities. We project these onto the outside world. The people who repel us unwittingly show us aspects of ourselves that we find unacceptable, which otherwise we can't see. Traditional Lojong teachings say it another way. Other people trigger the karma we haven't worked out. They mirror us and give us a chance to befriend all that ancient stuff that we carry out around like a backpack full of granite boulders. Be grateful to everyone is a way of saying we can learn from any situation, especially if we practice the slogan with awareness. The people and situations in our lives can remind us to catch neurosis as neurosis, to see when we pulled the shades, locked the door, and crawled under the covers. Which I did this week, by the way. This is not my goodness, right? So
Michelle, I have to, in full disclosure, I have to say that later on in the day, I spent over an hour, you know, on multiple phone calls and listening to recordings, simply trying to schedule a medical procedure. That's it. More than an hour, actually. And the blockages and the frustrations. And I, at the end, finally just sort of exploded, just as the gentleman did, his own frustration at being without work. So I did the same thing later in the day with this kind woman who's actually trying to help me do this scheduling of three different procedures. So I'm looking back going, oh yeah, myself.
So thank you for this. And Grace, can I push this just a little further as well? Are you all right with that? Yeah. Thank you for that. Thank you for that vulnerability and sharing that. So I'm pushing away this person. Oh, here's an aspect of myself that I don't want to look at. And the wisdom that comes out of that, and for you, Grace, is it something like, I always need to be patient. That's who I am. I always need to be kind. I always need to be the one who listens. I always need to be reasonable. I always need to be it might even be capital S, capital O, spiritual one. I always need to be. What if I'm not? And I'd be okay with that. Because if I'm holding onto that image of myself as that person, part of the reason that it took me so long to prepare this class this morning, I'm supposed to be an expert on devasia. What do I know about it? I was stuck in it all week, you know? So letting go. And devasia is not the same as letting go. That's one thing I want to say too. Like when we push something away, sometimes it's like the near enemy of it. It can be mistaken for it. Well, I'm letting go because I don't need that stuff of those people who are doing it that way. Devasia, suffering. So really nice notice, Grace. And then also how much that pushed a button. So then the time that became a frustrating time that was less than efficient maybe, and then all of that so important for our energy, for our companies, for what we're able to build. Yeah. Anything else you want to add to that, Grace? Thank you for that vulnerability. That's like why, so deep into why we're doing this. Anything to add, Grace? No? Okay, Marie, go ahead. And then Erin.
So I'm thinking about a person that was in my writing workshop, and at the end, she really wanted to talk at me, I would say, and tell me all these wonderful things about herself, which I didn't really want to listen to, but I did my best to listen. And then I was trying to figure out, like, what is it about this person that's really bothering me? And it was that she just kept really needing to talk about herself and all her connections with all these high-level people. So for me, I think what it taps into is almost the opposite of what I am, which is I tend to not say anything about who I am.
So the part of myself that the rejected part of myself that I will not allow myself to blow my own horn. I will not allow myself just to speak in big ways about myself. Interesting. Beautiful. Thank you, Marie. Thank you for that. Yes. Erin.
I can go. I was just yawning, but I can go.
Yeah,
I'm putting my hand up.
That's fine.
Well, what I just reflect on is that, yeah, whenever I've noticed people really irritating, it's usually because they're expressing qualities that I don't particularly care for in myself. Mm-hmm. Usually, and giving myself some credit, usually not to the extreme that they're going to, mm-hmm. but it's... thinking of my father-in-law there, but it's, you know, it always has something to share with me when I'm open.
Right. Yeah. So such a gift, and they do it writ large so we can see it, right? Helpful. Helpful. All right. Thank you. Beautiful. I want to get to Donna's question. And Donna asked a very simple and profound question. She said, what's the magic behind trust? Now, everything we've been talking about today gives us a huge, huge key to trust. And rather than me answering that, why don't I give that to you guys? Why does this have anything to do with trust? It has everything to do with every piece of our business, including trust. Why? Marie.
I have no idea what I'm going to say, so I'm trusting that something's going to show up.
I love that. The answer is already in there.
Here's what I can apply in my personal life right now. So I'm offering this writing retreat in Bali, and I'm trusting that the people who are meant to show up are going to show up. And I'm not staying in the energy of fear or scarcity or worry or anything. I'm just trusting. Whatever's supposed to happen is going to happen. And so for me, there's magic in that because that's where the possibility is.
Love it, Marie. Thank you. And right from your opening words, I don't even know what I'm going to say, but I'm just trusting and so I'm stepping forward. So right in that moment of exhibiting trust, like she's actually displaying trust in the moment. She's doing the thing that we're talking about. She's trusting in the moment. Whether you're trusting in a moment, in yourself, in people, it's that same quality. And at that moment, there's a profound letting go. Because Marie is not hanging on to the idea that she's going to have to look smart. She's not hanging on to the idea that she's got to be the best thing. She's not hanging on to whether the words will come or not. She's not pushing away the worry that, oh, you might all think less of her if she says all the wrong things. Did you get how there could be raga and devesha playing there that would silence her? But she steps through and past all of that. And right as she steps through and all through that into that moment, right there is trust. And that is that place And those things that Marie mentioned, fear, scarcity, worry, fear and worry, devesha, aversion, pushing away, right? A scarcity, well, the opposite of abundance. So it's again why we're learning these foundational things and how we actually make them work. So thank you, Marie, beautiful. Let me see. Now, I want to hear from one of you before I say something more, because Marie said some really key things here. What did you hear from Marie, for you, about trust? and the connection with what we're learning about Raga and Devesha. Yeah, Carly.
It's almost like being able to communicate and share without judgment, fear of judgment or of yourself or from others.
Right. Yeah. Perfect. And so, this is the perfect place then. I had it right at the top of my notes. I was going to teach you at the beginning, but I had to let go of that order because of the way that I thought it would land better. Remember I said that, Raga and Devesha are two of the kleshas. In the yoga tradition, they're the fetters. They're the five keys, the five knots, they're sometimes called, that cause suffering. They are not the first ones. They're the third and fourth ones. It's avidya, asmita, raga, devesha, abhinivesa, right? Avidya is often translated as ignorance. I often translate it as not knowing how big I am. But another translation would be like not knowing how connected I am. Thinking of myself as just this separate being, unconnected to any resources, community. It's like we experience the opposite of that in Shavasana. If our arm starts to disappear into the floor, it's like, wait a minute, I'm more connected than I know. And again, that can sound really esoteric. It can sound really far out there. But it has very tangible results in our business, right? So avidya, not knowing how big I am, not understanding my connectedness in this web of relations that is this human existence, I guess, something, you know, deeper than just my own little separate self. So if I don't know how big I am, that's avidya, the first klesha. All of the other kleshas follow. When I don't know how big I am, how connected I am, what resources I have, what power I have, then asmita follows, which is ego. I'm going to puff myself up and try to make myself big because I don't really think that I'm very big. And then there's all this posturing on stage. Then there's all this like forcing people in a sale because I don't really understand how big I am. So I got to look bigger. Or then I got to try to pull people toward me or all these kinds of or push away the wrong people and the raga devesha follow, right? So avidya, I don't know how big I am. Asmita follows ego. I try to puff myself up. Raga devesha, I've got to have this thing beside me. So I'm going to look big. I got to push that thing away because otherwise I won't look big. And the whole world, so much of our Western culture runs that way. And the last one, abhinivesa, fear of death, clinging to life, often manifests as a fear of change. And you can see how these are all connected, because if I have to puff myself up and look really big, and a lot of the university is like that too, people think they're supposed to be big when they're a university professor, and you know, because you're supposed to know everything, but you really don't. So you got to puff yourself up, and there's all these egos and stuff, right? Fear of death, clinging to life, often manifests as fear of change. I'm going to be afraid to try anything, do anything, change anything, because I got to walk the line. Otherwise, I don't look right. This is happening in business all over the place. I do what that other person's doing, because otherwise I won't be big enough. I better not do that, because that's the thing that's out right now. Everybody following everybody else. Again, that's why I love the creativity, the amazing creativity of Bohemian Rhapsody. They're like, we don't give a fuck about what anybody says. We're doing this stuff. So, can't have a 6-minute song. Well, just watch us. Yeah. So the kleshas, avidya, smita, raga, devesha, abhinivesa, and at the heart of that is, Carly had said, communicating and sharing without judgment. Well, I will do that when I understand, not intellectually, when I feel my profound connectedness to everything around me and in the universe. That's what I'm doing when I'm in Shavasana. It's one of the things I'm doing. I'm getting out of that little, small, separate self in an embodied way, right? And when I do that, I can communicate, share without judgment, which is part of what brings about that trust. If I don't know how big I am, if I am pushing and pulling things, then I try to build trust from that place of ego, of the small self that I think I am. It's impossible. It's like gluing together magnets that repel. If you're following what I'm saying, because this is profound for our companies, and it's a really important question from Donna, raise your hand if you understood some piece of that. Yeah, and why it matters for your business. Okay, so I'd love to hear from one of you what you heard from that, just that piece. Donna's question, what's the magic behind trust? What did you hear in any of those pieces? For you. Yeah, Sergio.
It's the fear of death. You're fearing any sort of change. It freezes you up, or freezes me up, so I don't do things because I'm afraid of changing and so on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fear of death, clinging to life. It's said to be the most deep-seated of the kleshas because we all want to live. But we're hanging on to stuff. You can hear that it's like a version of raga, attachment. I'm hanging on. And then I won't change anything. And then I'm in this rigid space. And then from that place, I try to trust. It's all the wrong starting positions. So I need a broader base to begin from. Because if I'm starting with trying to trust out of those two egos trying to meet together, it's impossible. And this is a profound part of the reason why people come to me in strategy sessions. And some of you have talked to me about your own strategy sessions, or you've talked to each other about it, for instance. And people say, you know, I'm telling you this, Michelle, I've never told anybody this. You know, how does that kind of trust happen so quickly? And this is like the, I don't know what else to call it. It's like this spiritual basis behind that, but you don't have to use that word spiritual. It doesn't, all the words are kind of wrong. All the words fail me here. I don't know what words to use. It's like tapping into something so much larger and understanding who we are. And then we meet together at a wholly different place. It's beyond these, you know, talking head, bumping egos, wanting to look pretty. And I'm not, wow. My editor said, don't say that. So I'm going to say it. I'm not afraid to be stripped down in front of an audience, for instance, right? Like I will stand in front of an audience naked, so to speak, you know? Because there's not, at my best, do I always do that? No. Have I sometimes been, am I caught in this too? Of course. But at my best, when I'm speaking to a group, there's not something that I'm trying to protect. Like, I don't mind coming in and with you guys and telling you, listen, I was caught in Deveja all week. Because if I tried to protect that, then you're not going to be able to hear anything. So trust. It comes from that, you know, if Iyengar in the Yoga Sutras says that unhappiness leads to hatred, unhappiness leads to aversion. And if the kleshas are, you know, that if I don't understand all of who I am, it's going to lead to all the other kleshas, all that pushing and pulling and fatigue and so on. And from that place, there is no trust. What is it to access what I call big self, something so much bigger that each one of you touched in the strategy session or you wouldn't be here? We touch that place together. This is something that's possible. This is something so much bigger that you actually are in connection with all of those of the universe. I won't explain it in those words, probably. We'll be talking about it in language that is your own. When we do that, then trust isn't something that, okay, you got to earn my trust or, you know, all the, or can you hear that it comes just from a whole different place? I trust because, like Marie's not deciding whether to trust or not. Well, this time maybe I'll trust and I'll come and say something. In the moment, she is trust embodied. And she simply comes to the moment and speaks. And our deepest words come from that place too. I'm not trying to hide stuff. We can add to that, of course, layers of skill as we learn in practical applications, we learn in Mexico and so on. But we're not trying to use our words to cover ourselves up. We use them skillfully to connect. All right. Okay. Donna, does that give you, let's turn it to you for a moment, because that was a very great question.
Well, my field of interest is a challenging one. It's, people are it's so highly personal, death and dying, transitioning, and I get stuck somewhere between not knowing how much I know, and my ego and my agenda. And I'm so highly compelled to be supportive to people that don't know that they need the support. Mm-hmm. And I suspect that that's similar to each industry that people in the group are involved in, as far as recognizing people need these services, not too sure who those people are, and not having that steady flow of opportunity to deal with people and to speak with people and to become involved with them allows those moments, more moments of unsureness.
Right, got it. Okay.
Hesitation.
Got it. So I'm going to stop you there for a sec because can you hear the threads of the things that we've been learning about here? And thank you for sharing very clearly. That was beautifully put. So one of the sentences I pull out there, and we're just going to take just 1 minute over this. Again, yeah. Follow up with further questions. One thread is not having opportunities to speak with people. There's the thread, because there's that thread of scarcity. Yeah. And on top of that, right? What if you could envision that there were opportunities all over the place, and that that there's so many of them that there isn't even time to speak to everybody, and so then you're going to have to pick and choose, right? So that's from the abundance series piece, right? And then I'm just going to give you one more piece here, and then post another question to follow up if you choose. So we're going to wrap up the call here in just a minute. But in the area of death and dying, you're right at the heart of Abhinivesas. Everybody's fear of death, clinging to life. Mm-hmm. Manifests as resistance to change. So these are crucial teachings for you, because first investigating in ourselves before we can investigate in anybody else, that's going to be rampant probably in your area, because you're dealing right directly with death that nobody wants to look at. So these teachings are crucial for you. There's going to be all kinds of pushing and pulling inside those people, and as you can find it in yourself, you'll be able to see it more easily in them as well, and like Grace was learning to do inside herself, to detach from that, to be able to hold space for that person in the best possible way. That's about as far as we can take it today.
Thank you.
Yeah. Hopefully there's a piece there that's helpful. It was certainly helpful. Who learned something about trust? I mean, in this segment, I did. Like, I think that was phenomenal. So great, great question. And so he's still mulling it over. I know it's some really deep level work to propel our businesses, but this is the bedrock. This is the foundation without which I don't know how to build a business. And then in your week this week, go ahead and play with Pema Chodron's, when do you notice that frustration, irritation? Because that's the pull of Raga and Dvesha happening. And also, just notice it. If you look in the business world, it's rampant. You're going to see it. So you got to do this, and let go of that. And if you're, and in your own mind, and as you're picking up the phone, oh, I don't want to call that person. There's Dvesha. I don't want to make those calls because those are the most important things I need to do. So instead, I'm going to be attached to doing this other stuff in my business because I'm afraid to make those calls. So, because what if then I get rejected and I'm frightened that they're going to push me away? And it happens at very grassroots and mundane everyday levels of our, not mundane, but everyday levels of our business, right? All right, we're going to wrap it up. Again, no class next week. So use that time to connect on the Facebook forum, to post lots of questions, but you can post a question right after today's call. It's a great thing to do. I encourage you to do so. Use the link that you were given for the reminder in today's call and go post a follow-up question. And if you have a second question and a third question, you can post those too. So that's a great thing to do after every call. Let's wrap it up with one aha, one inspired action. The aha, so that we're always generating those things that we love. What do I love? What do I notice? So that the world gives us more and more of those. So what we focus on expands. And then what's my inspired action? It's a check-offable action, so it doesn't become head knowledge. So we're actually taking it into our businesses and our lives. So Erin, you're up first. You're in my top left corner. What's your aha? What's your inspired action?
My aha is that connection between things I don't like in others and opening myself up to what the message is for me. So letting go of like the irritation from that and just opening myself to the message. When it comes to an inspired action, the next time I notice being triggered, I'm going to just in that moment tell myself or whatever, just remind myself just to let go and just notice either how I'm playing or just be in that moment versus reacting.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you. Yes. Reminds me of what Marie said about leaking energy, because that the change in energy leak for you and for all of us when we do that is tremendous. And then we've got energy to actually do our businesses and then allow them to grow. Thank you, Erin. Beautiful. Grace, you're up.
Accuracy of perception of self.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I wrote down because I was going to do the what am I tolerating? And here's the irony. I am tolerating, and part of my annoyance too is needy people expecting me to find the solutions for them, to have their own answers. And what did I do for over 2 years? I was looking outward for everybody else to tell me who I am and what to do.
Mm.
And thinking, oh, that sort of fits with everything we've talked about today.
Mm. That is company changing. Yes. Thank you. Beautiful. And what's your inspired action?
Taking off from Marie, I started a gratitude journal and I'm going to continue it.
Mm, beautiful. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Donna, you're up.
A lot. Uh-huhs. I think don't know how big I am in my ego and the dance between those two.
Mm-hmm.
And get a little clearer on how that impacts my day. So I think it really is more about the Facebook thread and my irritations.
Mm-hmm.
And journaling. I need to start putting into words the stuff that rolls around in my brain.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Thank you. Love it. Good. Sergio, you're up.
Virtually everything was transformational in this one today.
Mm.
Unhappiness leads to hatred and aversion. That's very important for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good. And so my actions is I'm going to really listen to this again because it's so early I kept fading out. And also forgiveness. I'm going to start forgiving people because I've got things to forgive people who are in my life.
Oh, Sergio. Freaking awesome. Yeah. Yeah, well done. Really well done.
Thank you.
Marie.
Wow. exploring, like, being, having an answer to the question, what's the magic behind trust?
Mm.
And an inspired action is I want to do the 1 hour Judith Lassiter thing on irritation and frustration. But the naming, I like the idea of naming the one quality that was irritating or frustrating.
Mm-hmm. Love it. Yeah. It's a really profound exercise and humbling and helpful. Yes, thank you. So glad that you pulled out Donna's question, what's the magic behind trust? Yes. And such a huge contribution, what you had to say about that. Beautiful, Marie. Thank you. Taking it deeper. Yeah. Marla.
There are way too many choices here. but I think the irritation is pushing away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you for noticing that. It's really important. These micro places where our companies are actually happening. Thank you. What's your inspired action?
I'm going to do the exercise on how many times an hour am I meditating.
Yay. I'm so glad you guys are taking that up. So good. Yes. Carly.
Just that letting go happens like moment by moment. And so being aware of all of those smaller things, almost, you know, relating it to the things that I'm getting irritated with, I need to relate that all together so that I can be able to let go of bigger things.
Right. Yes. Because often I start with the massive things, but meanwhile, there's this little, again, why we start our day with Shavasana too. There's more reasons than I have time to tell you when we first start. Yeah. Love it. And what's your inspired action?
I'll be looking at how many times I get irritated, probably in the first half of my day.
Don't do it for the whole day. I'm still not done the whole day thing. So, yeah. Humbly anyway. Thank you. Anne.
I think, the aha is how much more I believe that there's more than one way to do something.
Mm.
As in, when I started my business, I figured there was other people doing it, so I didn't believe in myself as much.
Mm.
Whereas now I believe in more because I'm unique.
Yes. And those are like easy words to say, but when they're embodied, like I know you're mm-hmm. embodying them now, that's what changes everything. Yes. Mm-hmm. Well done. What's your inspired action?
Yes, I will do the irritation, what irritates me, because I find that I'm getting more irritated. I find things annoy me more often now.
And be gentle with yourselves too as you're doing these exercises. I'm glad so many of you are doing them. And also notice one thing from Esther Hicks. She's just like, I'm a vibrational snob now. And sometimes she gets more irritated because it's like there's a knowing that of how things can be. And so you really like encompass it with a big heart and a gentleness as you're doing the practice and know that it's the ground on which things are shifting and changing and growing. Really, really good. Thank you. Yeah. Sherry, you're up.
There was a lot in today's, and I kind of got that whole attachment and pushing away. And it winds up, what's echoing in my head is done is better than perfect.
Mm.
And so how many times do I get attached to just one more, when in fact I have to let go?
Yes, actually getting to completion. My friend Sarah says, it's her, you know, what does finished look like? That's her expression for that. And it's like, how do I even get to the end of a project if I'm hanging on to stuff? So to be able to even complete projects and get things done and out there into the world. Yes. Thank you for pointing that out, Sherry. Good. What's your inspired action?
I think I'm going to, because I've been so irritated lately, I'm just going to note it. I'll start with the hour.
Perfect. Yes. Yeah. And then that, you know, that witness consciousness that all of a sudden you can encompass it with gentleness. It starts to be a game. You can turn it into a little bit of a game too. And just it's happening anyway. Might as well use it for opening and growing your company. Right. Nice. Judy, you're up.
Hi. I took lots of notes today. It was just fabulous. If I go to something someone hasn't mentioned, what landed for me was the differentiation of at my best. You know, so when I'm harsh with myself or I'm measuring myself, it's like, you know, if I look at when I'm at my best, you know, I may have a different experience.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciated that in addition to, you know, all this talk about trust. What I was appreciating was your level of modeling today, just how presence and embodiment is the come from for trust. And it's just beautiful. So, and my inspired action, I might as well just make it unanimous. I'll play with the irritation chart. I don't notice that I get irritated, and I'm very curious that if I look for it, what I'll find.
Uh-huh. Yeah, fantastic. I'm so glad so many of you are doing this week. And so be gentle with yourselves. Connect with each other on the Facebook forums. You don't feel so lonely. And remember that Judith Lassiter found it 67 times for the day. And she teaches this stuff and has for decades, right? So be gentle and notice that every time you're noticing it, it's another level of letting go of it so that, that things are shifting and changing in the noticing of it, that that is the transformation. And how much more energy will be available to all of us collectively on this planet as we learn to let that go. And so thank you. Fabulous, fabulous work this week, everybody. So great to see you here. Remember to post your questions both in the Facebook forum and on this, in the Story Freedom Academy. There's a link in your inbox with your own password, etc. We couldn't do that before, but it's right there for you. So you can register, you can get into Story Freedom, not register, get into Story Freedom Academy and post your questions. So have a fantastic couple weeks, everybody. Love you tons and tons. I'm catching up with my life, so I haven't got back to you yet about something. Be patient with me, and I will slowly get back into, slowly getting back into the land of the living. Have a great, great day, everybody. Love you tons.
Bye.
Bye for now.